The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by MECU, Baltimore's credit union, and the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome this hour. We are going to spend the hour talking with Carla Hayden, who is Executive Director of the Enoch Pratt Free Library here in Baltimore. And before we get into that, there's a lot to talk about, controversies and non-controversies, the future of libraries, and the questions you might want to ask and talk with her about. It's time to take a look at traffic and see what's happening on the roads. Support for WEAA traffic is provided by GM Corporate. GM is offering the Total Confidence Plan, details and limitations at gmconfidence.com. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome this hour. We want you to join us here at 410-319-8888. We have the pleasure of having in the studio Carla Hayden, who is Executive Director of the Enoch Pratt Free Library. And as I should say here at the very top of the hour, as a disclaimer, it has nothing to do with this conversation, nor why Carla's here, nor what we will talk about, but I am on the board of directors of the Enoch Pratt Free Library, and I want you to know that. But full disclosure, we believe in complete transparency here on the Steiner Show about everything and anything. Carla, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Glad to be here.
410-319-8888, or you can write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. There are a lot of interesting people coming to the library soon. You can hear Leonard Pitts, the great writer and columnist and Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. We'll be coming at the end of May, and we're going to be talking next week to Chuck Palahniuk, who has written the book Pygmy. Of course, he's better known for the movie Fight Club, that he wrote the novel that the movie was based on. But they're not causing very much controversy. They're just great writers and authors and people that the library brings, and we'll talk about why these wonderful authors come here. But on May the 13th, they'll also be appearing on this show, we'll be talking with Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, who wrote the book Race Course, Against White Supremacy. And Bill and Bernadine were people I knew 40-odd years ago when they went underground, in the weather underground, blowing up buildings and hiding from the police. And the FBI was, and the American government at the time, was busy chasing people down and murdering many and people murdering back. It was a very difficult time in America. And they've since now become a professor of law and a professor of education in Chicago and are coming to speak at the library. And this brings up a number of issues about libraries, because the library has been catching some flack from certain quarters for allowing these two people to come speak.
Well, it's wonderful, really, to have the library in the midst of discussion. Libraries are sometimes stereotyped as being very staid and quiet places. And so to have speakers that provoke discussion is really what we're about. And so we have had a number of people who have voiced their opinions about having the two speakers that you mentioned being at the library. And some of them have been very vigorous in their opposition to us allowing these people to speak.
So, I mean, let's talk about that for a minute. I mean, there are people coming to the Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers coming to the library are people who were underground, and they were in many ways, an armed confrontational battle with the U.S. government for a while during the war in Vietnam, what happened to the Panthers being murdered across the country, many things going on during that period. And people are saying that you are, in some sense, giving aid and comfort to terrorists for allowing people like Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn to speak.
Well, what they're actually pointing out, though, is something that libraries have been doing, especially in this country. People may not know that the libraries, the public libraries in this country, are a model for public libraries throughout the world. In fact, the American library system is one that started in about the 1850s, and at the same time that public education for all started in this country, and public museums, and so public libraries, and the whole thought of allowing people to read, and at that time it was only reading because that's where most information was bound, basically, mm-hmm. in books. That's how you got information. should be allowed to get free education and to educate themselves through public libraries. And so the very genesis of the public library movement was to have, as they used to say, books battle it out on the shelves, that the obligation was to have books and information on all points of view. And the person coming in was allowed to make their own decisions. And that was part of the whole democratic movement for this country. And that's, and there's a saying that the American Library Association has that says that libraries are the cornerstones of democracy.
Mm-hmm.
That's where people, anyone can go in. It's totally free. And you can read about anything. And so this discussion about the speakers that are coming in about 2 weeks just brings that point up. And what I think people lose sight of is that once you start censoring, and that's basically what this call for us to not have these people speak about a book that they've written, once you go down that road with one point of view, you're also subjecting your own views to that same type of scrutiny. And there might be people who object to what you believe in and what you might want to write about. And so you can't really start censoring without knowing that you're going to be subject to it.
This is something that I know from the past that you have a deep abiding belief in, is the role of libraries in this democracy and the role of the right to speak and say what you want without fear.
That's a First Amendment right.
Yes.
So it's in the Constitution. And when there's one of my favorite books, and as a librarian, I'm still into books. We're into internet and computers and things, but still there are things that are just in print. And one is A History of Reading, and it's by Alberto Manguel.
I don't know that
and
book.
It's a coffee table book, and mm-hmm. Each chapter talks about different aspects of the act of reading. The fact that, for instance, people didn't need glasses, and it's the history of optics, one chapter, because before there was print, you didn't really need to have magnification or adjustments. So each chapter has a different aspect of the impact of reading, and one chapter is called Forbidden Reading. And it has, as the preface to that, a photo, a very rare photo, of what's obviously a slave woman outside of a cabin looking at a book. And as he says inside, and I've almost memorized this quote, as slave owners, dictators, tyrants, and other illicit holders of power know, an illiterate crowd is the easiest to rule. And the act of reading, once taught, cannot be unlearned. If you cannot keep people from learning to read, the second best recourse is to limit its scope. And then he goes on to talk about book burning and all of the different times in history that there has been an attempt to limit what people can look at and what kind of information that they can receive. Because once people have the information, they can do all kinds of things with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the fear of, in some instances, the fear has been. If you let people get educated or if you let them learn how to do things and to think for themselves and to see the different viewpoints, my golly, they might say, this situation I'm in might not be so good.
I mean, libraries play a very critical role in that. I mean, and you see that as key to the Enoch Pratt system, just the idea that this is an institution where people, no matter of what means, have the ability and right to come in to read what they want, to write what they want, to look at computers, to study the things going on.
Right.
This is their access to knowledge.
Right,
and
it's been called, libraries have been called the people's university. And there are so many stories, and we hear the stories all the time. And one of the most famous is the playwright August Wilson, who credits he was a native of Pittsburgh.
Right.
And he credits and gave a wonderful speech about the Carnegie Library in Pittsburgh. He ditched school in high school because it wasn't a good experience for him. And every day he would go to the library. And the librarians kind of knew that he probably should have been in school, but that was okay. And he educated himself. at the library. And years later, they gave him a degree, the first time a library has ever given any person a degree.
They gave him a degree.
Right, because he credits that experience of being able to go there and educate himself. And you see that today, and you have evidence of that, and people tell us that all the time, that that's where they were allowed, no matter what their circumstance. For instance, people will say, when I was growing up, we didn't have the World Book Encyclopedia at home, but I could go to the library and I could use the encyclopedia. We didn't have this, or I wasn't able to do that. I couldn't buy books, but I was able to go to the library. And now we see it played out in terms of access to computers. There are a lot of people, especially that are economically challenged, that do not have access to computers, and especially computers that are networked, connected to the internet. And now, for instance, 85% of jobs that you apply for, you have to file for that job application online. And that's it. McDonald's, any kind of job. And so there are a number of people who are at a disadvantage if they don't have an access to a computer or even know how to use a computer or have an internet account, because you file an application, you also have to have a mechanism for the potential employer to get back to you. So libraries give out free internet accounts. And so you can,
really?
Yeah, we do that. Just like we give out books, we give out 3-month email accounts, and you can renew them. And so you can use them at the library. So that type of evolution of offering information and really the opportunity for knowledge has changed with technology. It used to be the book, just the book, but now it's all formats. And so this discussion actually has invigorated us. It's been something to hear people actually ask us, don't have these people here. And we say, well, why don't you come and hear what they have to say? And sometimes they hang up.
One of the things that really struck me in the halls of the library, and by the way, we're talking to Carla Hayden, executive director of the Enoch Pratt Free Library. There is a bit of a controversy going on because Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, who wrote the book Race Course Against White Supremacy, will be speaking on May the 13th at 6:30 p.m. They'll also appear on their show sometime around their visit here to Baltimore. They were made famous in America because they were part of the Weather Underground during the late 1960s, during the war in Vietnam, and Bill Ayers was caught in the middle of a controversy with Barack Obama, which he deftly avoided by not speaking to the press during that time, where people were trying to accuse Barack Obama of hanging with terrorists because of his brief association in and out with Bill Ayers on education committees because they lived in the same neighborhood and would pass each other on the street. And there's a huge controversy about that. We'd like you to join us here. What do you think about civil liberties and the role of libraries, the idea that people like Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn are speaking here at the library? And as importantly, how do you use the library? What's your story about the library did to you as a young person, or if you are a young person, how you use the library now, how important this institution is to your life, what it meant to you? When I was a young boy, it was one of my refuges. Branch 14 on Garrison Boulevard was my library, and I was there all the time if I wasn't down at Central, which I liked even better because it was so huge, sitting on those big old desks in that big, gigantic rooms, and I was just a little guy. How'd you use libraries? 410-319-8888 is the number here. And, you know, I was about to say that when I was at the library a few weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, just for an event, and I was talking to a lot of librarians about this controversy. They came up to me and started talking about the controversy taking place because of Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. And you did see and feel they were energized. They were energized, yes, by their deep belief in the role of libraries and what their job is as librarians. Because we have this notion of librarians being, you know, these little meek people with the, you know, dusty and moldy and little old women sitting behind counters and stuff. Well, some of us are a little old, but I mean, you know, but it's...
And wearing comfortable shoes,
and wearing
which
comfortable
I must
shoes.
Admit I have on today. but that stereotype is also something that really helped us when there was another controversy that was national about the Patriot Act. As you mentioned, librarians have the stereotype of being pretty mousy. And if any of you have seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life, at mm-hmm. the, you know, the usually around the holidays,
Christmas time,
right?
Right?
And at the very end, when the Protagonist gets to go back and see what has what would have happened if, you know, he hadn't been there. The fate worse than death for his wife was that she comes out and she was a librarian. And so that sticks in people's mind. We have one of the really strongest stereotypes of any profession when you think about it. But it's a wonderful thing because people believe in librarians, and they know that they're not in it for the glamour. They're not in it usually for any other reason that they believe in the power of the word. And so when advertisers will get on, will try to have something for a new soft drink or any type of thing that they want to promote, they'll have a librarian sitting there, and the librarian will take a sip of the soda or take a piece of the gum, and then they'll go wild and take out their bun and jump on a table and do all that. And that's when you know, wow, if a librarian gets excited about something, you know, it must be something, because there's a trust level there. Well, when we had the controversy about the Patriot Act, and people may recall the Patriot Act had some provisions in it that would restrict people's ability to get information. Librarians were the first ones to really sound the call about that. And the public rallied because they believed in the librarians, and they said the same thing. If librarians are upset about this,
right,
then maybe we should take a look, because librarians aren't known to create a lot of fuss.
Well, you testified before Congress.
Right, right. And we talked to Attorney General Ashcroft at the time, and it was quite contentious. The librarians went from being mousy to being called feisty fighters for freedom, and we even had T-shirts made up, and you can see it at our conferences.
Triple F, I like that.
Yeah, feisty fighters for freedom. and buttons that say another feisty librarian for freedom and things like that. But that's why the librarians were energized, because it gets to the heart of the matter in terms of what they believe.
Let me open the phones. Let me put those headphones on and see if the sound level is okay for you. We're going to open the phones here at 410-319-8888. Carla Hayden is with us. I'm going to come back and pick up where Carla left off for this conversation, which she is, of course, Carla is the executive director of the Enoch Pratt Free Library, one of America's, if not the greatest library in the United States of America. It's an amazing institution that I'm proud to be associated with as well. How did you use libraries? What do they mean to you? How did you grow up using them? Do you use them now? What doors do they open for you? 410-319-8888. Nicole, on the road. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Nicole.
It's actually really ironic that you're having a conversation today. I was having a debate with a classmate of mine yesterday about the importance of reading beyond what you're required to read and reading for pleasure. And my personal experience, I'd say that reading and going to the library, mostly the Edison branch of the Central Library, played a part in my life, and, to the extent that I was never confined by my neighborhood. I was never confined by, you know, expectations or that other people may have had or not had for me growing up, because I was exposed to so much by reading, going to the library and being curious. And even now as a student, honestly, when people speak and when they write, you can tell the people in their level of reading, whether or not they read a lot as a kid, just by, you know, their vocabulary or how they're able to process information. I'd like to think that it's really obvious. So that's all I wanted to say.
And Nicole, she says, very important.
And especially the idea that you can go anywhere and be anything through reading, and that it allows you to escape. And we've heard that so many times, that people have said that they learned about different cultures and everything. And not even leave. You can take a journey. Our new phrase that we use with the library is, your journey starts here, and you can go anywhere.
Did you always want to be a librarian?
Well,
how did you end up being a librarian?
It's an interesting. I was a reader. I would read the cereal box. I read anything, and then started that. And all through my life, books were a big part of it. And I found out as I was graduating from college that people didn't want to employ people that didn't have experience. So I was going to right after graduation to find jobs and do that, thinking about other avenues of pursuing education, and I would go to the library between job interviews. And one of my colleagues who had just graduated said, "Hey, are you here for the library jobs?" I said, "No, I'm just in between interviews." And he said, "Yeah, they're hiring people with all kinds of degrees." So I went upstairs and told them that I, you know, was interested in books and had always been. And so they hired me. They didn't hire the guy. But that's okay. And then I found out and was assigned to a library in the inner city of Chicago. And my first day on the job, I walked in to this branch library, and there was a young white librarian with frizzy hair and blue jeans, and she was on the floor, and she was giving a story hour to a bunch of autistic children. And I thought, okay, this is not what I really thought. And she was in library school, and that's when I found out that you could go to school for it and what it really was about, and it went on from there.
I mean, and there used to be a library graduate school here in Maryland, but it's gone.
There is still one at College Park.
There's still one at College Park?
It's actually, though, the reason why you might think it's gone is because now it's called the iSchool. It's the information school. So libraries are morphing into library schools.
So I mean, the being a librarian, I mean, I think that that's an interesting thing to explore just for a minute, before we go back to civil liberties and the role of libraries and what's happening on the Pratt soon. I mean, and I want to read a little bit of your testimony that you gave to Congress so people can have an idea of what you said. But the idea of what it means to be a librarian, what people actually do, I mean, it's... Because I don't think people understand the role that librarians play. Because when I get all this literature, being a member of the board from libraries across the country, and all these incredible programs librarians start in their libraries for the communities, and the research work they're doing, and the activism they're involved in with young people and with communities, I mean, it's a...
Right. I didn't realize it, really, because growing up... loving books and going to libraries and things, it's just there. You don't think about how did it get there and who plans the design of the building, who selects the materials, who really thinks about how people navigate and operate in it. So there are all types of levels, from the people who help you check out materials, who are assisting you just with your everyday types of interactions with it, to the people who are doing the programming, and the people who are now working on our website and making sure that that's user-friendly. So there are all types of levels in terms of just bringing information to people.
And I remember when Library last year, one of the things you were so excited to show me was the... I was there for the book fair. That's when I was there last, for the book fair that took place, and then the authors were all speaking, and the library all day Saturday was taken over by authors and hundreds,
poets,
thousands of people coming in to hear people speak and...
Yeah, we had 1,900 people on Saturday for the City Lit Festival.
That's just enough.
It was also the day that we inaugurated our cafe.
That's right.
So we had coffee and we had people reading, and we also are Wi-Fi in most of our branches, and it's central, and so people were there with their laptops. And we're going to start a program where people can actually check out laptops and use them in the library if you don't have a laptop.
Really?
Yeah, that should be in the next couple of months.
That's phenomenal.
So that's the way, because then you're not bound by computer carols. You can just, with wireless, it's just endless.
And so you can take your laptop and a cup of coffee,
right,
and sit anywhere you want in the library and read,
right,
and
as
write
long as
and
your,
work.
Your beverage is covered.
As long as your beverage is covered.
And you can actually have water or anything else already now. And so but for people who don't have laptops, we want them to have that experience of using laptops in the library too. So right now, if you have a laptop, we're wireless, you can come on in.
410-319-8888 as we talk with Carla Hayden, Executive Director of the Enoch Pratt Free Library. And let's go right to the phones at 410-319-8888. Dorothy, in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Yes, I just have a comment. I used to go to the libraries in the city, but I don't know more because of the way they run and because of the problems that I had and the fact that Carla Hayden really didn't done anything.
I actually know the caller. in terms of she's contacted us before, and I haven't had a chance to actually talk to you directly. You've called the office several times, and I've tried to contact you back. So I'm really glad that we can actually talk, and I'd love to get a number where I can talk to you offline after the show.
Okay.
So I'm very glad that you called in.
Do you mind if I just call ye?
I'm sorry?
Do you mind if I would just call ye at your office?
Yes. No, I don't mind.
Okay.
I would love to talk to you directly because we've been going back and forth. So
okay.
I definitely do it. And please don't hang up this time.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Okay.
Hang up.
Don't hang up. It's 410-396.
Okay.
5397.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Take care, Dorothy. We'll come back to the calls in a minute. 410-319-8888. People calling in to talk with Carla Hayden, Executive Director of the Enoch Pratt Free Library. One of the things we started talking about today was the fact that Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn are coming to the library on the 13th of May, and it's caused quite a bit of controversy because of Bill Ayers being accused of being a terrorist, and then they tried to smear Barack Obama with that during the campaign. He and his wife, Bernadine Dorn, who actually was more of the leader during the 60s than he.
Really?
She was an amazing woman. She still is. And they have this new book out, and they're coming out to talk about their book at the library. And we'll also be guests on the show, as are many people who come to the library to speak. We try to get them on the air to get them to be part of this conversation. We're going to come to Clinton and the others who are calling in, but I want to read something first. This is part of the statement that Carla Hayden read to the Judicial Committee hearing after America after 9/11, Freedom Preserved or Freedom Lost. This is the American Library Association. Carla was president of that association, or was then. And she said, the ALA has long opposed efforts to censure, control, or to oversee the information sought by the public, particularly in libraries. Privacy is essential to the exercise of free speech, free thought, and free association. And lack of privacy and confidentiality chills users' choices. It can have the same effect as the suppression of ideas. The possibility of surveillance, whether direct or through access to records of speech, research, and exploration, undermines a democratic society. Libraries are a critical force for promoting the free flow and unimpeded distribution of knowledge and information for individuals, institutions, and communities. And Carla was, stood up, and I mean stood up, to the FBI, to the federal government, saying that these were essential freedoms for us. That's a very powerful act. People need to know that. And I think, again, because I want to also, I think Ms. Magazine named you one of the women of the year because of that.
First librarian. I can imagine that was quite something. And because there were different people there they had it at the National Press Club, and the fact that a librarian would I was representing all librarians, and so that was really an honor.
Well, there are a lot. We'll talk when we come back from a break. But we're talking about the librarians in Connecticut who stood up and literally stood up in the face of the FBI and said, "No, we're not going to cooperate. Put us in jail if you want to."
And that was part of the law.
We're going to come right back. So Clinton, who called in, and Carlene, who's driving, both of you hold on. We're going to come right back to your calls as we talk with Carla Hayden, Executive Director of the Enoch Pratt Free Library. So please stay with us. We want to hear your thoughts about libraries and for Carla. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ was formed in 1936 to help people during the Great Depression. And over 70 years later, they're still here to help people during difficult times. For more information, please visit MECU.com. We'll be right back. Mark Steiner, and welcome back. We're talking this hour with Carla Hayden, Executive Director of the Enoch Pratt Free Library. We were just talking during the break, and I promise we'll go right to the phones, and many of you are calling in. We want to get you on the air with us. But we were talking about when I read the quote that Carla, a quote of Carla's response to the committee in Congress about the Patriot Act. We were talking about what it really said. And without probable cause and without any kind of court order, they could come into a library and right. check on anything they wanted to under that
it's,
law.
They even, it said any tangible thing, and that's books, records, floppy disks, data tapes, computers, taking the whole computer mechanism out. And the without probable cause was the really dangerous thing because that they didn't have to show any facts of why they thought that this might be relevant. And you could not tell the person if they were looking for a specific person's activities, you couldn't tell that person that they were being observed or that material because you would be arrested.
You'd be
That's
arrested
what the librarians that stood right. up in Connecticut said, we want at least to be able to tell somebody the FBI was here, they want to look for your records. And you also were subject to searches if even if they didn't have a specific person in mind, they could say, I want you to produce the names of all of the people who were interested in this subject, checked out this particular book, looked at this database. And they just could just look and see. And if they saw a name that maybe they were interested in or not, they could just go on from there without going to any extent of showing why they thought that this might be relevant.
And now, in part, because of the fight against that from right. librarians, you at the head of it.
They have to show probable cause.
Right.
That's as far as we got, but that was a big step.
Huge step. 410-319-8888. As we talk with Carla Hayden about the library, all kinds of things about the library, you can tell us about your thoughts on our library system and how you use it and what it means to you and Clinton in Baltimore. You're on the air. Hi, Clinton, you're there.
Yes, I am.
Hey.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Clinton, how are you?
I'm fine.
That's, I know this voice.
What's to do with this call? I just want to call you to say that I think, one, I'm so glad you had Dr. Hayden on, and secondly, I'm so glad she's bringing Professor Dorn here.
Oh,
I think Dr. Hayden is one of the great women of Baltimore.
Amen to that.
Thank you.
I agree.
I have known the Pratt since it was built. I went to school right around the corner on Mulberry Street and watched it be built.
Really?
These are the glory days of the Pratt, the greatest days of the Pratt since Dr. Hayden has been there.
Oh,
and secondly, Bernadine Dorn, I met like 20 years ago when she founded and was directing a clinic for a law clinic for children at Northwestern University.
That's right.
And she has done some absolutely wonderful things, not only for the students, for the children that she and the law students there represented, but in influencing and forming and improving the law relating to children in the country. So I'm so glad she's coming.
Me too. Clinton, thank you so much.
Thank You're you welcome. Very much.
And, of course, Clinton calling in, we recognize the voice.
Bamberger.
Clinton Bamberger, who is really one of the most outstanding citizens in this community, who was one of back there in the President Kennedy's administration and helped. Without him, there may not be legal services in this country for the people who couldn't pay for it. He was dean of law, I think, at Catholic U, if I'm right. And just he and Catherine are just two of the most amazing people on the planet Earth and still very involved in it. And making this a better society, so you can call on the show anytime. 410-319-8888. Nicole in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. I was a social worker just for about a month in the west southwest Baltimore area, Edmondson area.
Uh-huh.
I love libraries. The first thing I do when I go into a neighborhood is look for the nearest library. And I discovered that library is closed for renovation initially till summer, they said. And then when I called the main title card, they said until fall, and I just wanted to find out if there's any plans to have some sort of a satellite program, because there's a lot of low-income families in that area that maybe don't have a car, and they used to walk to the library, and now even the library in Catonsville, which is 3 miles away, it's a very long distance for them to go to, and I didn't know if there's any plans to have some sort of a satellite program.
There is a program of having, they're now cybermobiles. They used to be called bookmobiles, that are making stops, particularly at schools and senior centers in the area. And people are able to do just about everything that they would in a branch there as well. And the facility, which is going to be really wonderful when it reopens in December. So there were some construction delays, and so it will have, of course, the wireless access, but also a special section for teenagers and a community meeting room and a computer lab. So we're really excited about that opening. But there are services, and you can call the library, and they will give you specifics about when the cybermobile stops at particular stops.
There are problems when the renovations have to happen and libraries are expanded, like in Edmondson. And
right, well, you usually have to close them because the more extensive renovations, you have to close because of safety reasons. Smaller renovations, we call them like makeovers, like extreme makeovers. For instance, the Northwood branch, it's not far from Morgan campus, had a makeover, and we were able to provide service because it was an extensive. We weren't tearing down walls and doing things like that, so we were able to do something. So if you get a chance to go to that branch, you'll see.
It's scheduled to reopen in Edmondson
in December.
In December.
Right.
December of this year.
Right.
410-319-8888. Carlene on the road. You're on the air. Carlene, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You're on the
How
air.
Are you?
Hi.
I'm interested in knowing about the laptops that we'll be able to check out.
That's
and which libraries will
Well, it's going to start at the Central Library.
The Central Library?
And we're testing it out. Libraries in other parts of the country have tried it out, and so we're getting right in there, and we'll have about 20 laptops, and you come in, you can just show some ID, and you sign a form saying you will bring it back. We do want that, and you can then use it throughout the building. And when you turn it back in, the information that you have looked at and things like that will be wiped out. There's a special program so that someone coming behind you won't be able to see anything that you've done.
Okay. Now, I'd like to use it for, I love the program for my children, and they're elementary school age. Are they able to use a laptop as well?
We will be having, and it's a different type of laptop that will be available for very young children.
Okay.
So we're really excited about it because it just opens
so
up
am
a
I.
lot.
So am I. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Carlene. Look forward to seeing you at the library. 410-319-8888. Daryl in Randallstown, you're on the air.
Hello. I had a comment about libraries. When I was in college, I was a kind of a geeky kind of a guy, and libraries were the place where I could meet girls who were like me, basically.
There have been a lot of library romances going on.
We used to just walk through the stacks, not only at my school, but at the Inner Pratt Library, and find books and poetry to read to one another. She was a biology major, and I was a math major, and there was a lot of beauty in biology and mathematics, and we would just find stuff to read to one another. But, you know, to tell you the truth, it was a very erotic time in the library.
Well, we've heard quite a few stories about that. In fact, there is a couple that just celebrated their 62nd anniversary that met on the steps of the Forest Park branch.
Is that right?
He likes to tell the story that he was just waiting outside. He wasn't in. He was waiting for her to come out because he'd seen her go in. And we've had so many people tell us about meeting their mates and coming down to the Central Library in particular when they're supposed to be doing homework in their teen years. And meeting up with different people. So the library, your journey starts here. That's what our motto is.
Daryl, that's a great story, too. I think, I mean, at that, you know, if you're somebody who loves books and you're young, and you know, you're not so young, I mean, the library's not a bad place to just stroll through.
No,
you never know who you might meet.
No, it's really
not that we want to start a singles club in the library.
Well, we do have a Pratt Contemporaries group.
We do, and I'm...
Right.
Yeah.
Of younger people, but that idea of meeting people, and it's not just for romance, but just people who are interested in the same things
right.
that you do. We have now a giant chess set in the middle of the central hall at the library downtown, and we have these spontaneous chess games going on, and people just start playing chess with each other, and you see the different people coming together of all types just to play chess. They're all interested in it.
That's great. good game. Chess is a great game. Did you play chess?
I used to, but when I see some of the people playing in Central Hall, I know it's been a while.
We're talking about the library here this hour on many aspects of it. We're going to go back and talk more about civil liberties and banned books. She's a woman who fought against banned books in this country. A librarian died. She was a guest on the show a little while ago, about 10 years ago. And we'll talk about that in a minute as well. We're talking with Carla Hayden, executive director of the Enoch Pratt Free Library. Before we go to the phones, I want to remind people the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. And for more information about that and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. Let's go back to the phones at 410-319-8888. And Chris, in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi, Chris.
I'm well, and yourself?
I'm well. Welcome to the show.
Yes, it's very informative. I had a question to ask the dear lady. I had damaged a book, and I have a reputation with the library for being late paying or bringing my books back because I get tied up in a lot of things. So I've always paid my fines, but this time the bill was sent to a collection agency. Is that a new policy?
Actually, the Pratt Library is one of the latecomers to using a collection agency, and we were the last in the state in terms of library systems to do that. And we actually have a pretty liberal timeline. I even received an overdue notice through my computer the other day. So we try to make sure that it's mainly to let you know, and then if you can return the material, that's what we're really looking for, not actually the fine, but if you could return the material, that would be great.
So Chris, just turn them in and then...
Right, let us know.
That'll be it. That's the main issue. Because I'm the same way. I think that I've very rarely, if I had to add up the times in my entire life that I got a book back to the library on time, it would be maybe 2% of the time.
And what people don't realize is that we do have a cap on the fines. It's $5 per book. And if you, I think most people think that the meter just keeps running. And so Right. They don't return them because they think, oh my goodness, I've had it out for 4 or 5 months. But there is an actual cap on it. And that's where you get into the issue of the collection agency, because they think that you still have the book, which might be actually worth more than the fine, which is $5, right, and the book is $52 or something like that. So by returning the book, we can work on the fine. And our staff members have a lot of discretion in terms of working out arrangements with people in terms of the fines, even especially for young people. We have a program now called First Card where children under 6, from 0 to 6, can get a special card, and there are no fines for the first 6 years of their lives. So we want to make sure that they get into the habit and not worry about that. And we are considering the fines for the 7 to 12-year-olds, because we don't want anything to really impede them
from using the library,
right,
coming in.
Right.
Feeling awkward about getting them.
Right, and then maybe they can work off their fines, you know, help us shelve some books or bring in a canned good or something that they can do instead of having to pay money.
410-319-8888. You can join us here as we talk with Dr. Carla Hayden, executive director of the Enoch Pratt Free Library. How do you use the library? Your thoughts on civil liberties and the right to say what you want, read what you want, the role libraries play in that. And part of that, we were talking for him in the air that... there was a notice that earlier this month that the woman who really was the...
She's director of the Intellectual Freedom Office. I mean, she was... Her name was Judy Krug.
Yeah, she was an amazing
woman. K-R-U-G. And there were articles and an editorial in the New York Times about her passing because she started really the whole movement for freedom of information in libraries, and then it spilled over. She's created the Banned Books Week that celebrates people's right to choose, and you'd be surprised at some of the books that have been suggested to be banned or censored. The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, and right now the most requested book to be censored or banned or taken from libraries is the Harry Potter series. Some people feel that it promotes
witchcraft,
witchcraft and all of that, and so they want us to take Harry Potter off the shelf. So Judy Krug really stood up for that and was just known internationally for being the person that was fearless. She, in 1990, she debated Phyllis Schlafly, you may know, who's a conservative activist, and went toe-to-toe with her about the public's right to know. She was just fearless in her belief.
And she embodies what we were talking about earlier. She embodies the soul of what it means to work in libraries, what it means to work in these institutions. These are so, it's so important when you think about this. I mean, that it's the one place we can come to that is peaceful, quiet, place to work, to read, to think, to read books, listen to music, borrow movies,
CDs, and DVDs, and all that. And it's not so quiet. In fact, now in a lot of our libraries now, we're creating quiet rooms because there's a lot of activity going on. You have people doing all types of things and coming and going, and that's the essence of it. And when you think about young people in particular, and we put a great emphasis on serving young adults, because that's the time that they need information about a lot of things, and that's where a lot of the discussion about the right to get information comes up, because there are some subjects that young people might not feel that comfortable talking to their parents or other people about, and they just want to know. And so that to have a place that they can go and get correct or accurate information about issues in their lives is what we also provide.
Carla Hayden is with us, Executive Director of our Enoch Pratt Free Library, 410-319-8888. She's one of the really great library leaders in this country, and we're lucky to have you here in Baltimore. Buck in Millersville, you're on the air.
Okay. I've got a couple comments, if I can do it without putting my foot totally in my mouth here.
Let's hope not, but go ahead.
Two of the most fantastic libraries in the world are located in Maryland, the National Library of Medicine and the National Library of Agriculture.
Yes. Maryland has been called library heaven in the profession, because you have the national libraries, you have the national archives, you have Library of Congress that is right there, and then you have a library system in the state that is the envy of others, because each of the jurisdictions, each of the counties has its own library system, and we're one of the few states that allows you to take your library card across borders throughout the state. So you can be in Wicomico County and also check out materials anywhere in the state and return them anywhere in the state. And the Pratt Library, in fact, is the State Library Resource Center. We're one of three states that doesn't have a state library in its capital. You can go to Albany in New York, and you'll see a big building, the state library. Springfield, Illinois, you'll see a state library. In Maryland, the Pratt Library is contracted by the state Department of Education to provide the services of a state library. So we are the internet service provider for the other county libraries. We also have two vans that travel throughout the state every day delivering materials back and forth. So that's why you can use your card if you go anywhere in the state. You can use your Pratt card and check out materials and use the computers.
So you can go to a Baltimore County Library,
yes,
and see a book you want that's only at Enoch Pratt, and they'll bring it up?
They'll bring it up, and that's what the vans do. So that's a wonderful service.
Buck, we have a lot of callers. Did you have something else quick you wanted to say?
Yeah, I actually got a book all the way from Richmond, Virginia on that library loan, which was amazing. It was a translation of the Bible, and I wanted to comment that if we're going to ban these two speakers, we better ban Bibles too.
That can be pretty revolutionary. The Bible has some things, and you're right, and that the whole interlibrary loan system, the Pratt Library is a broker, basically. So the request comes into us, and then we will broker with libraries all over the world, really.
Okay, well, it's a great system. That's really all I had to say.
Well, thank you so much for being part of the show. Appreciate you listening in. Thank you. 410-319-8888. This is Mark Steiner talking with Carla Hayden, Executive Director of the Enoch Pratt Free Libraries, and Jennifer in Baltimore. You're on the air.
Yes. I had a quick question.
Sure.
Years ago, I was a CEDAR intern, and I worked for the Independent Library, the Central Branch Circulation Department. And during an internship, what we did was we delivered books to people who were homebound and could not get out. And I was wondering, because I'm getting up in age now, and I was wondering if that service exists, for is there any type of service like that that exists now?
We don't have that. That was a wonderful program, the CEDAR program, and a lot of those federal programs allow libraries, as with other organizations, to do things that we're not as able to do now for budget constraints. For instance, there were literacy classes that people were being taught to read in libraries. Now you can contact a library, and we will try to find a way to get it to you. We will mail things
to you. Oh, great, great, great.
So you can contact us like that.
Okay.
Jennifer, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. CEDAR programs are wonderful. That's one of the things people said, that federal government shouldn't be involved, but it put a lot of people to work to do
it
good
did.
Work.
And in brought these a lot of services.
And brought a lot of services that we didn't have before. 410-319-8888. Carl, you're on the air. Hi, Carl, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You're on the air.
Yes, thank you, sir. I was saying that I was a fan quite so in my youth, and went to Douglas High School, and I liked the sciences, math, and whatever. And I came to the library, the main library, because they had a telescope on the roof, and they would allow us to look at the different stars and the moon on. I think it was Thursdays.
That's interesting. And what year was that?
Oh, my. That would have been about 1950. Hello?
I'm listening to you. Yeah.
That would have been about 1950s.
Well, the Maryland Science Center was actually housed on the third floor of
That's
the Central
right.
Library.
That's right.
Before it moved to its present location. And we've heard a lot of people talk about the memories there. And so we tried to... in fact, in our children's department in the Central Library, we have what's called the day and the night rooms. And in the night room, we have a planetarium effect still there where the lights sparkle and they can do that. So we try to keep a little of that flavor, but we have people that have told us the fond memories of the Science Center being there.
Carl, that's a great story. Thank you so much. 410-319-8888. And Ellen, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Mark Steiner. I love you. I love your show.
Thank you.
Hi, Dr. Hayden. I feel the very same way. I just wanted to say something really positive. I just was really excited listening to the show because I have a personal connection, and it's multi-generational. I'm a native and a product of two civil servants, and my mother worked for Recreation Department for almost 32 years. When she retired, she was like shopping. Yeah, with friends, traveling a little bit, and she just really wanted to return to work. And she was fortunate enough to start working at Enoch Pratt. And she loved it, and I loved watching her love it because I was just glad she was engaged. And it just refurbished her enthusiasm, especially for youth. And I grew up in a home with the three of us. Literacy was major, and so was education. And even now as a parent, here's the multi-generational piece. My daughter had to fulfill her service learning hours when she was in school, middle, of course, and high school. And she ended up with one of the branches in the city, and she loved it, and she surpassed it, and actually was one of the number one volunteers about 3 years ago when she was finishing her senior year in high school. And it just turned out to be such a cool thing, and even though she was into other extracurricular activities, I always say to her, the letters of reference and the extra mile she went with Enoch Pratt was such a huge thing when she was applying for school. People saw it, and it was awesome. And I just want to say that not just for me as a child and even as an adult, but for my mom and my daughter, I'm just so happy. And even though people get way bent out of shape when we hear about branches closing, you know, much schools and much like rec centers, I just believe that things that are awesome can never disappear, and that includes Pratt.
That's wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Your daughter was involved with our Community Youth Corps. It started out as a grant project, and we've been able to keep it going where young people can get their community service hours at the Pratt Library, and they actually help us make the library cool, as they say. The teens help us appeal to other teens.
That's important. And, you have really made the libraries accessible to young people. That's part of it, and it's been a big part of your tenure here at the library, one of the many things you've done. And this time I should remind people that the Summer Reading Club 2009 at your local branch is about to take off.
Right, and we now have gaming. We have Wii machines, and we have all types of things that appeal to young people. And that's one of the aspects that they helped us program. The CYC kids said, you've got to have gaming. You've got to let us have raps and do things like that.
I wish we had even more time, Carla. We'll have you back again soon. It's been a pleasure to have you here, and all the people still calling in to talk to you. Carla Hayden, Executive Director of the Enoch Pratt Free Library. There's so much going on. And thank you so much for being in the studio today. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. I'll be
it's
back.
Been great. I hope so. So we take a short break, and when we return from the short break, we're going to be talking with May Iskander, who produced this incredible documentary called Garbage Dreams about the people in Cairo, Egypt, who make their living over generations collecting the garbage. But it's more than that. We'll talk with her. It'll be at the Maryland Film Festival, which the Maryland Film Festival, by the way, runs from May 7th through 10th. It's the region's premier film event, and over 130 films of all types from all over the world, with filmmakers and other surprises. Films for everyone. For all details and to purchase tickets, to guarantee you can get into the movies you want, go to mdfilmfest.com. We'll be right back to talk about the film festival and a great deal more in the next hour.